Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, April 23rd.
Friday.
Jen's wearing sunglasses because it's so bright outside.
It's so bright. You know, I know it's so weird. I think I like slept on my eye weird, but now my eye is like so sensitive to light. It just like hurts.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I woke up in the middle of the night and I discovered I had slept on my eye. It was hurting and stuff. And
yeah.
I hope I don't have something in it, you know?
I know.
But
and I have cats, so it could be like a cat hair. Or I don't know.
My brother had like a very swollen eye the other day. I mean, it was like a fucking tennis ball, and you don't know what it's from.
Don't say that.
So I was afraid I had some, but no, it was 2 minutes later. It was over. So
yeah.
So that there you go. There.
I hope not.
I know.
I had This is probably an overshare. I had chlamydia in my eye once.
Really?
And I didn't get it from like a sexual partner. I got it from my best friend who got it from fixing a guy's laptop who had it. He was at his neighbor's place fixing.
Are you serious?
Fixing his friend's laptop. And then
the germs just jumped on the other person?
Yeah, I mean, the guy was probably touching himself and like using like porn on his computer or something and then didn't wipe the thing.
Oh, my God.
And then my friend fixed his computer and I guess like rubbed his eye. And he like called me. He was like, can you come over and help me? And I was like, yeah. And he opens the door. It's pitch black. He's got his blackout curtains. It's the middle of the day. It's completely dark in there.
Whoa.
And he has a single candle he's holding up in front of his face. And he blinked and just two blood tears dripped down when he blinked. Yeah. It was something out of a horror movie. I was like, okay, don't touch me. Go sit down. I put gloves on. I cleaned and sanitized his whole place for him. I did all his laundry. I ended up getting it, a lesser version of it, but I ended up getting it in my eye as well.
Oh my God. And it goes away, huh?
Eventually, I had to go on like an antibiotic.
Because some STDs, they don't go away, right? Like,
yeah.
Like herpes or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that stays forever. Yeah. Oh my, if I got herpes in my eye, I would.
Yeah, you would have died,
right? Yeah. And then I ended up giving it to my sister. And then I also gave it to a guy.
Wow.
I made out with. Yeah. And so.
That sucks,
the
man.
The spread of chlamydia.
Now my eyes are itching all the time.
Careful.
Yeah, I know. So welcome to the show, everyone. We're going to have a guest calling in a few minutes. And it is Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that.
Yes.
Not that I have any plans for the weekend. I'm probably just going to be bored as hell. But
you should go for a hike or something.
I do, but you know, it's okay, so it feels an hour or two, and then what, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So, my daughter had an accident on a motorcycle.
Yeah, how's she doing?
Okay, I guess. I don't know.
She's fine.
I'm not permitted to lecture her at all.
Look, you're allowed to.
Yeah, but she'll shut me up. She's
that's
like,
okay.
I'm done. I'm like, I'm not done.
Yeah, you can shut her up too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the thing is this, is that, what do you want me to not say anything? I mean, it's pretty selfish to put your family through such terrifying things every time you get on a bike. This was a second accident already, and granted, it wasn't her fault, but it doesn't matter.
It's one thing to, like, want to ride a bike, but to then tell the people in your life that they can't say anything about it.
Right.
Because then what? If they don't say anything about it, then it's like, oh, my family never says anything. I guess they don't care.
Right. Exactly. It's always going to be something.
Yeah.
You know?
So you may as well just say something. So at the end of the day, like, people get so annoyed by their parents worrying. But
right.
The thing is, like, as soon as they have kids, they're going to worry too.
Right. And
you know?
I mean, and what is the family supposed to do, you know? If you're fucking injured or dead, the family's going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? So it's pretty selfish, I think. And, I mean, I get it that people enjoy motorcycles and stuff. But for crying out loud, if you have people that care for you and stuff like that, you got to think three times before you get on a bike. Yeah. You know, and it wasn't her fault. She's really mad at the woman driver because she says she didn't really care, blah, blah, blah. She has very minimal insurance and all that stuff. And I'm like...
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, we're in L.A. People drive, like... I know you've lived here for a long time, so I don't know how much you remember about people driving other places. Mm-hmm. But the only other place that I've been that drives crazier than here is Florida. And there's, like, a fraction of the people on the road in Florida as there are here.
Yeah.
You know, like, people... I would never be mad at a driver for driving stupid here because everyone drives stupid here.
Right.
You know, like it would be a miracle to drive one day, to drive 5 minutes on the road and not see somebody driving right. like an idiot.
Yeah.
It's just the way
and,
it is.
Yeah. And the thing is with motorcycles, sometimes it's hard to see them.
Hard to see, you know? Hard to hear.
Right. You know, so you don't know what's going. And she was turning left, I guess, and was hit. So I don't know what the other driver was doing, but. My daughter's, like, angry, and I'm like, I don't understand this anger, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Nobody made you get on that fucking bike, you know?
I know. So, and also, when you're on a bike, sometimes you can think you can cut corners.
Right. Yeah. You know, and they do all kinds of shit, you know? I mean, sometimes I can't believe how fast they go.
I know.
You know, like 90 miles an hour on the freeway. It's like you're like a friggin' missile, you know?
Yeah.
How are you ever going to... How are you ever going to get out of that if you hit something or somebody hit you?
Yeah.
There's nothing, there's not going to be anything left of you.
I didn't even feel, what was that?
Where's that from? Is that yours?
No.
Oh, you know where it's coming from? My phone. I recognize the song that was playing it before you came here. How the fuck did that start playing?
I was like, is there going to be just like a giant like black
Phantom
cloud?
Of the Opera
yeah,
type of
definitely.
Thing.
Amazing.
But it's not really that song. It's they borrowed that beginning for another song. Mm. So that's what it is. I don't really listen to Phantom of the Opera or anything.
It's okay. It's a great show.
It is a great show, right? Yeah. Did you ever see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I went to a very theater-dominant high school. Mm-hmm. We spent a ton of money on our productions, and they took us to see Phantom of the Opera in New York.
Yeah. It was pretty good. I saw it here. I'm not into theater or anything, but somebody took me. I said, okay, we'll go.
Yeah.
And I actually enjoyed it, you know?
Yeah, it's,
it was
good. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not all of them are...
No.
I mean, they all have their charm. I mean, I like theater a lot, but sometimes with the musical theater, it's just too peppy for me.
Right. It's hard to connect to it.
Yeah. It's just
I feel the same way about movie musicals too. Yeah. You know, when they, instead of talking, they sing to each other. It's right. Like, come on, man.
Like if I saw Grease now as an adult for the first time, I don't think I would like it as much as I did seeing it as a kid.
Right.
You know, plus my family was like, oh my God, Grease. Like my mom and my sister always really liked Grease. So it became just like a family thing. But, and I love Grease, but it's, if I saw it as an adult, as a 32-year-old for the first time now, I'd probably be like, okay.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know that I'd feel the same about it.
Yeah. I know. Plus, I mean, the stars of the movie are not as big as they used to be, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it's kind of hard to relate to it. But I remember it came out not too long after Saturday Night Fever. So John Travolta was extremely popular.
Yeah, he was popping.
You know.
For sure.
Yeah. And Olivia Newton-John, man, that was, she played the part good, you know.
Definitely.
Where she then became the sexy girl.
Yeah.
With the leather.
I auditioned for Grease in high school, and I did so bad on my audition that I didn't even bother to check the paper to see if I had gotten in. I was like, I did not, you know. And then I found out a week later that I had gotten a call back for Rizzo.
Really?
And I just never went because I thought I did so bad.
Oh, my God. They'll teach you to assume things, huh?
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have sucked.
Yeah. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Could have changed everything.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So a lot of shit's happening. We're going to have a guest calling in. He's into film and things like that also. So we're going to find out some things about him as well. And so you're saying the weather's not going to be sunny this weekend, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, it says that it's going to start getting sunny next Thursday.
Really?
It's going to be cloudy every day until Thursday, until Saturday, then, Sunday, Monday.
And it's been cloudy for a week already.
Tuesday it'll be sunny too. Mm. Yeah, but Wednesday it's going to jump to 79. It's going to be in the 60s, low 60s all week.
Right.
Wednesday jumped to 79, Thursday 88, Friday 90.
So good thing I didn't decide to go, because I wanted to go away for the weekend again with my son. Mm. And I was thinking San Diego, but if it's overcast here, it's definitely overcast there.
Yeah, definitely.
And going on vacation when it's cloudy is not the best thing in the world, you know?
Yeah, I just want to like take a nap.
Yeah, and you know, be in the sun and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Everything is bright and colorful. Yeah, I know.
All the little boats.
Yeah.
So cute.
No, it is. It is. But it does get overcast a lot because it's right on the beach there, you know?
Yeah.
And all the clouds come in and the fog and everything, so. In New York, they had unrest in Central Park. Did you hear that?
No.
There was a mob there splashing paint on statues, defacing property and stuff. So I don't know what the hell their problem is, you know. This seems to happen all the fucking time, you know. So I don't understand this at all. And it's unfortunate, you know, because, now at least they can't blame Trump on it, you know.
That's fair. About it. That's fair, actually, right? Yeah. Someone said the other day, they were like, I think it was Zach Bornstein. He's a comedian. He said, like, I think we're all taking for granted how little we're hearing about Trump on Twitter. I was like, that's so true. We went from just hearing about it every day to,
right.
You know, I feel like everything just went back.
Right.
And everyone just, no one's really appreciating not hearing about Trump on Twitter.
Yeah, well, we can't blame him for this because now there's different caretakers and that actually promote violence and protests and shit like that. So
I'll be honest, I have absolutely no idea what's going on followed right now. I literally leave in the morning, come here, and then go to work, and then good get home, you. And then have rehearsal, and then shower and go to bed.
Good for you. Stay away from the news. I'm trying to do that, but it doesn't work for me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I like reading the paper. I
like reading it, too. I just, there's zero time.
Yeah.
My only free time, I'm driving.
Well, that's good for you. I mean, you know, being busy is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been missing that.
Yeah. It's a blessing. It's also very tiring, but it's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
When Sunday comes around, I'm just a blob.
Yeah, you see, but when you work and then you get time off, then you appreciate it, you know? Mm-hmm.
I know. I feel like I can't soak Sunday up enough.
Yeah.
It's so good. Just go to the pool.
Yeah.
Just swim around in the pool.
Yeah.
Just try and enjoy.
Have you gone out to eat yet?
A couple times.
With the restaurants open and stuff?
Yeah. Maybe like a month ago I went out to a restaurant. I feel like I went somewhere. I went to a coffee shop last weekend.
Oh, okay.
Alchemist is very good in Koreatown. Delicious. Uh-huh. Fantastic vegan pastries.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful. They really take precise care in making their coffee.
Excellent. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, delicious. That's good. That's a good thing.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. And then I also went to La Cologne. Had some coffee there. There's one right on Sunset in Silver Lake right by me.
Oh, love okay.
It's great.
Yeah. I've been going to a lot of restaurants lately just because I can, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, definitely.
So we've been going to just about any kind of restaurant, really. Still sitting outside, you know, but...
yeah, I'm not ready to go indoors.
Yeah. In Arizona, we went indoors a couple times and nothing happened, you know, so...
Yeah. I know.
Here comes the phone call right on time.
Great.
Let's go ahead and get that.
Love punctuality.
Yeah, I know. And we're going to get the notes here. And let's see if the line's going to connect here. What's going on? I don't know. Hello? Oh, good morning, Christopher.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, how you doing?
Yes, sir. Good. How are you today?
We're good. We're good. Christopher Moonlight Productions, that's your company, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And pronounce your last name for me. I don't want to mess it up.
Oh, Cooksey. Sometimes I go by Christopher Moonlight Cooksey.
So. Oh, okay. Cooksey is good enough for me, you know, nice name and easy to say. Oh, so there you go.
Well, welcome, Cooksey.
Yeah. Christopher, where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm just outside of Austin, Texas.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're in Texas. Sounds good. I see you have a California number. That's why I was asking. Did you used to live here or something?
Yeah, I grew up in Thousand Oaks.
Oh, wow. Not too far from here.
Yeah, very close.
Where are you guys at?
We're in Sherman Oaks, actually, in the valley.
Oh, good town. I like Sherman Oaks.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it is good.
Thousand Oaks is nicer, though, because it's away from all the hustle and bustle, you know?
Quiet.
Yeah. How long did you live?
I got to...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was born in England, and I moved there when I was six, so I lived there for a good, 30-plus years, but grew up around all the celebrities. We're not on the air yet, are we?
We are. Yeah, you're live.
Oh, we are on the air.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Okay.
Yeah, we don't mess around. We get right to the point here.
Yes, there's no screening, no conversation screening here.
Yeah, we're not pre-qualifying you or anything.
Well, I heard you guys were auditioning for my latest film, so okay. I didn't know if we should do that. I had lines for you to recite and everything.
Oh,
wow. Really?
Bring it on, yeah.
You want to give it a try? I mean, I can talk about my project, so we can just try you right off the bat.
All of the above.
Like, I know we don't have screen, but... You know, I essentially, so we have, let's see, who do I give which lines to? So we've got Sam, I think you are going to be showing up with your date that's a dinosaur. And Jen, you'll say, is your date a dinosaur? And you'll say, yes, I met her on Tinder, but in this world, a man can love a dinosaur.
Oh, okay. Well,
got that?
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Yeah.
I say, are you on a date with a dinosaur?
Give it some emotion, okay. Jen. You started off. Go ahead.
Sam.
Yes.
Are you on a date with a
You forgot
dinosaur?
Your line already?
No, I was saying it.
Yeah, she's saying it.
Sam.
Yes.
Are you on a date with a dinosaur?
What is my answer? I don't remember the line anymore. I guess at this age you're allowed to.
I met her on Tinder, but in this crazy world, a man can love a dinosaur.
Right. Okay. So what he said, Christopher. Before we get to your project, I was curious. So what made you move to Texas? You left California to Texas. How long ago was that?
That was several years ago. We did actually come back for 1 year. I went to work for a special effects company called Amalgamated Dynamics Incorporated, which is a studio ADI for short. And they do one of the things that is my absolute passion, which is practical effects, non-CGI effects, animatronics, puppets, makeup, that sort of thing.
Amazing.
It was a dream to work for them. So we came back for a year and then we went back to Texas again. So overall, we've been in Texas for about 7 years. And really what it was, well, first of all, it's the expense. It's really expensive to live in California. But that's I had true. Worked in the Hollywood system, and I wanted to get out because I feel like we live in a world where now you can do low-budget stuff, but you have access to wonderful technology to create special effects and to film digitally. And I see a lot of people creating their own stuff outside of Hollywood and being able to sell through video on demand or crowdfunding directly to their audience. And, you know, when you go to Hollywood, you go, I've got this idea. And then there's all this red tape and the velvet ropes. And then you get to somebody and they want to change it and make it more family friendly. I'm not the most family friendly of directors. I like doing outrageous stuff, trying different things that Hollywood would say, no, we need to make it more for general audiences. But now, you know, you get 1,000 fans and they're all willing to spend $100 on you per year, then that's a six-figure salary and you can make projects for that. So
yeah.
I wanted to get outside of that. Texas seemed like a really good place for that. There's talent out here, although I fly talent in. You know, if you guys, if you had nailed the audition, you know, I would have flown you out in accommodations, limousines, that sort of thing.
Maybe in another lifetime. Would we improve a little bit?
Mine wasn't so yeah. bad.
No,
okay.
Jen actually passed the test, but forget about me. I'm not good at memorizing anything, really. You know,
oh, man.
Memorizing line.
But hey, I'm lucky I remember my own name. That's why I don't act.
Yeah. So you started some of your own projects, which is something that's interesting. It's been happening more and more, like you said, because you don't have to rely on Hollywood to come out with great projects, you know. And we've had a lot of people on the show over the years, and this has proved true again and again, you know, that you go and you do your own stuff, you know. So let's talk about some of the things you did. So you do visual effects, but not with computers, right? You said it's like animatronics and things like that.
Yeah, well, I do use computers. I like a blend because, honestly, even animatronics, that stuff can get expensive. So if you strike a balance of things, and for me, I'm on ultra-low budget. So even animatronics, like I said, you can spend thousands of dollars on there. But what I'll do is I'll create a partial puppet and then fill in the rest digitally. So I do use green screens, and now I'm excited about this LED screen volume technology that you've probably seen with The Mandalorian, where they, you know, generate the stuff in front of the actor on a screen and just have them act against it. I think that's really exciting.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, I've built a lot of puppets, a lot of miniatures. It's fun to do. And you've probably seen, even with theater productions, because a theater production, it's harder to get visual effects with actors. You have to have, you know, a prop or a puppet or something like that. Although we are doing stuff with projection, like with the Ray Bradbury project, Ray Bradbury Live Forever with Bill Oberst Jr.
Right.
That was one where I was able to build miniatures, prehistoric jungles and vampires and all this crazy stuff that would be very expensive to have on the stage. I built it in miniature and then we projected it behind the actor for that effect. So there's all sorts of things you can do if you're willing to get creative. But I think when you go purely CGI and nothing else, the audience kind of becomes numb to that after a while. I think if you give them things that are, you know, if you put a puppet in front of them and it does some crazy thing or a miniature, it has a texture to it that the audience feels, and it kind of reawakens their interest in what you're doing.
That's interesting, you know, because I never really thought about that. I mean, I used to do computer animation like a long time ago, and I've seen it evolve and everything, and it seemed like miniatures and all that sort of like been pushed away, but you're saying it's still alive and well.
Oh, yeah, it's making a comeback in a big way, because like you did get a period where CGI was new. Jurassic Park came out, and then that was kind of the hot thing that everyone wanted to push out there. Hey, we've got computer-generated effects, which are really cool. I mean, Jurassic Park looks fantastic, but what they don't tell you about Jurassic Park in the publicity is that about 80% of those dinosaurs were actually built, and the 20% that was filled in with computer animation. And that a lot of miniature sets were still being used, but the audience was just assuming that it's CGI.
That's true.
Now,
yeah.
I do love CGI. I am not one of those people that's going to go, oh, what I do is better. I like, you know, it's like tools. It's if you've Alec Gillis, who owns Studio ADI that I work for, he used to say, if all you ever use is a hammer, then every problem looks like a nail. But, you know, the hammer is not always going to be the right tool for the job. If you got a screw and you're trying to hammer it in, you know what that can do. But now we have all this wonderful CGI technology, and a lot of it's open source, which for your audience, if they don't know what open source means, it's that programmers have bypassed the companies that license programs, and they've built these free software that they put out on the internet that you can use, like Blender. And I'm currently using Blender to join what I do with practical effects, with building miniatures and combining it with CGI elements that you can build in Blender and hand-drawn animation, because you notice that there's not as much hand-drawn animation in movies anymore, but you're still seeing it make a comeback in television. So again, going back to video on demand, it's a wonderful time because all of these different mediums and all these different ways of telling stories, whether it be the long form television format or movies or even short films, are all now viable in this wonderful kind of video on demand landscape. I think it's a very exciting time to be an independent creator, quite honestly.
Absolutely. So you do more than special effects, though. You have a film that came out, The Quantum Terror. What part did you play in it? Is that pretty much your creation?
Yes. So The Quantum Terror is a sort of a science fiction horror surrealist movie. And it's one of those stories that I feel could never have been picked up by Hollywood, unless maybe you're David. Wrote it, I produced it, I directed it. It's not actually out yet, because anybody will tell you your first feature film will always be your most difficult, and it takes the longest to get out there. You can see trailers for it on my YouTube channel. But essentially, I wanted to do a story that was kind of something that's been brewing in my head since I was a kid. I remember seeing Alien 3, and they had all these wonderful tunnel sets. And in my town of Thousand Oaks, there were, you know, wash tunnels you could kind of, if you were skinny enough, you could get between the bars and go running around in.
Wow.
And I thought, hey, it'd be cool if I could shoot a movie down here.
Wow.
And then years later, when I'm in Texas, I noticed they have the same kind of wash tunnels. And I went, hey, I can do this. I've got the equipment. Here are the tunnels, except the tunnels only went under the street and out the other side. So what I ended up doing was building tunnel sets in my garage. And it was kind of the Star Trek method, where they use the same hallway over and over again and make you think it's the entire ship.
Mm.
And I just took these styrofoam sheets and I painted them to look like concrete, and I hired some actors and had them run around in there, and we used miniatures so we could do reverse shots where we'd have miniature tunnels with these puppets that were small but in frame looked like giant monsters, and we had a great time. We have a finished film. We're just waiting for the audio to be cleaned up, and a score is being written. We have wonderful talent. My actors, Kristen Koschel, Paula Sullinger, Matt Blackwell, did an excellent job. I think these are, I'm saying these names out loud now because I think these people are going to be stars.
Right.
And so we've got wonderful cast. We had wonderful special effects, all done on a down and dirty budget. I think it's going to be one of those kind of cult classic films like the original Evil Dead, where they kind of did the same thing. They had a very limited budget, but they had a lot of heart and talent behind it.
Right.
So I'm very excited about it. If you love little slimy tentacle monsters and weird surrealist ideas, The Quantum Terror is going to be something I think people are really going to enjoy. I'm quite proud of it.
Well, it sounds good. You
so
know,
exciting.
I mean, yeah, you should be proud of it. It sounds like a lot of work. How long did it take to make this movie so far?
Well, we're on year six, which is a little embarrassing to say until I've talked to other fellow directors that went, oh, yeah, my first film took 10 years.
Wow.
I thought it was going to take me about 2 years to put together.
Wow.
But we shot it in about a year. And these actors were wonderful because they had, you know, regular jobs or other gigs. So they were showing up on weekends, and then, you know, we would wait until we got a little more money and then shoot on another weekend. So it took us some time to put it together. And then a lot of the post-production, building the miniatures and the puppets, took some time. And then, but we had it all edited together within the third year with all the visual effects complete and that sort of thing. But then you realize, as you learn, that there are technical snags, you know, broadcasting specifications that you have to meet, and you know, audio issues. We had, I won't dive into that story, but we had our audio person bail out on us right before we got shooting. Mm. So pretty much all of our audio for the entire film was terrible. So we're having to redo all the audio. So you learn these things, and now we are actually getting ready to shoot our second film as we get the first one out. And because we had these experiences, we've got these problems licked. So I think our next film will get out a lot sooner, which I was going to cast you in, but you forgot your line.
Yeah, so, there you go. You know. So maybe in the next movie. But Jen is available, you know. So
thank you,
there
Sam.
You go. Christopher, Moonlight Productions, I see you have a Patreon and a PayPal account for people to help you out. Do you want to give us those so people can find it?
Well, I actually closed down the Patreon because I wanted to essentially, you can do the Patreon or you can do the movie making, but you can't do both. The Patreon was when I was doing tutorials, and I still do tutorials, but if I wanted to do them consistently, then that would have been more work. And so I was like, I'm not going to ask people for money. I'm doing fine with what I'm doing at the moment. So I tell people, like, you don't have to worry about those. What I do love, though, is when people just leave comments on my YouTube channel or even when they reach out to me and ask questions, because I have a lot of aspiring filmmakers and effects artists reach out to me and say, how are you doing this on such a low budget? Uh-huh. And it's the kind of thing where I want people to succeed at this. I think it's a wonderful time to be an independent creator, and I want to see more of it. So if anyone wants to help out, they can help out by just joining in the conversation with me on my social media, which is, like I said, my YouTube channel, Christopher Moonlight Productions, or Instagram, Christopher Moonlight. Those are the places I like to hang out.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, people check it out. I see you also have social media for Quantum Terror as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And also check out Bill Oberst Jr. Bill Oberst Jr. is a Emmy award-winning actor who has been on Criminal Minds, Circus of the Dead. He was in Rob Zombie's Three from Hell, and he won the Emmy for an internet thing called Take This Lollipop. He and I are both big Ray Bradbury fans, and we produced a play based on Bradbury's work and approved by the Bradbury Estate called Ray Bradbury Live Forever, where I did a lot of these effects that were projected behind him while he was acting.
Right.
And even though right now with COVID there is no theater, keep an eye on it, because once we open back up fully, we're going to put that back on the road. And I think it's wonderful for people to see a live performance experience like that. We love Bradbury too, so we want that to live on.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, you know, to be able to give tribute to people that you like and you admire. So
definitely,
it's very cool. Now, when this is on stage, where is it going to be? Does it like travel around the country, or where can people see it?
Yes, it does. So, you know, Ray Bradbury, author of Fahrenheit 451, which I think in this day and age is a very important book, and The Martian Chronicles, which is my favorite by him. Bill wanted to, like the Mark Twain one-man shows, he wanted to do a one-man show like this. So it is off-Broadway. He tours it around. As we get audience reaction as well, we've kind of adjusted the play. So it originally premiered at the Pasadena Library a couple of years ago to a lot of Ray's old friends and patrons, and to I'm very proud of it. Just absolute standing ovation. They were wowed by it. Bill does a fantastic job as Ray. He's a fantastic actor and a kind soul. And so he just packs up and flies to different places where, you know, there are libraries and people who love to read, and he gives these performances. If you keep an eye on the website for that, RayBradburyLiveForever.com, you know, when it opens back up, you can find dates and tickets. So
yeah, sounds good. Well, sounds like you're doing a lot of things, you know, and very talented, very driven. And that's always inspiring, you know. So
So thank you.
Of course. So we gave everybody the social media links and everything. You can go to YouTube as well to see. I see there's a trailer for Quantum Terror, which I watched, and looks pretty pretty scary, actually. You know, so if that, if that's what you meant to do, then you succeeded. You know.
Thank you. Of course. I appreciate it. Yeah, we want to scare you.
Yeah, you're doing a great job at it, you know.
We want to be scared.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right, well, Christopher Cooksey, thank you so much for calling in this morning. We really enjoyed your input and your experiences, and all the best to you. Continued success to you.
Can't wait to see the final product.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you for having me on. It's a real pleasure. I passed up Joe Rogan for you, just so you know.
Oh, well, thank you. We feel privileged.
Tell me something. I'm giving you guys a great big hug, and you have a great weekend, and to all your listeners, a great weekend.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you, when do you project that the movie is going to come out, The Quantum Terror?
It's hard. 2021.
2021. Okay.
All right.
That's close enough.
Yeah, keep on me about it, though. Anybody listening that wants to see this movie, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you think about the trailer. I want to hear what other kind of movies like this you'd love and want to see. I love hearing audience feedback. I want to entertain and scare you. Right. And if I'm not hearing from you, I don't know how best to do that. It's a shot in the dark. So let me know, because, again, I want to entertain and scare.
Sounds good. Love you found your lot in life, and that's good. You at least have something to go after. You know, a lot of people don't even know their whole lives what they're supposed to do. You know, Christopher, thank you so much again, and all the best to you.
Take care.
The best to you guys, too. You take care and stay scared.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. We'll stay scared, absolutely.
Stay scared, yeah. In this day and age, there's a lot to be scared of.
There is, huh?
Yeah.
I know. A lot to be scared of.
So much.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't... Do you follow Star Trek at all?
Yeah, I grew up on Star Trek.
Really? What's the name of the creator? Brandon Berry, right?
That I'm not sure. Let me see.
Yeah, I'm gonna see, find out the name exactly what it is, because I always get confused. Roddenberry is the name. Okay.
Yeah, Eugene Wesley Roddenberry.
Right, and when he mentioned Ray Bradbury, I'm like,
you're like,
oh,
that
that's Star Trek. And then I'm glad I didn't say anything, because I wasn't sure. And he beat me to it. But the name is similar. Okay, we'll go with that, you know.
Yeah.
Gene Roddenberry is the creator of Star Trek.
Wow.
Did you follow it then a lot when you were younger?
My dad was a Trekkie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My dad was a full-on Trekkie.
So you kind of joined.
I watched, Captain Picard. I watched Deep Space Nine.
Oh, really?
But
those are the
Captain
newer
Janeway.
Ones.
Janeway. Yeah, I mean, we watched the ones with Shatner too.
Yeah.
Did
you realize it only went for 2 or 3 seasons?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, huh? I mean, the impact that it's had.
I know. They've done how many different versions of it?
I know, a million.
So
of them,
many,
you know?
And not even counting the movies.
Yeah, the movies and everything.
Yeah.
I know. I was never really into Star Trek. I did see the movies, though, a couple of them, and I enjoyed them. You know,
yeah.
It was good with William Shatner. But
he's someone who just hasn't aged. He looks the
right.
same as he's always looked.
Yeah, we were talking about this, right?
Yeah.
He's 90 years old. 90 fucking years old.
He looks no different than he did at like 40, 50.
I know.
Even when he's like super young.
I know.
He still looks the same. Like a little fresher, but that's it.
Right.
You know?
Some people just have good genes, you know?
It's incredible.
Right?
You know? And he's always smiling.
Yeah.
He reminds me of a hamster. I don't know why.
And he's funny with the commercials he does, you know?
So funny.
Right?
Yeah.
Because he seems
Shatter.
Like he does all these funny things. You
so
know?
Silly. He has great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. But you see, people make movies all the time on their own and stuff, and it works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It works for them.
It's good to hear that your first feature takes a while. The feature that I'm working on, we filmed not last Christmas, the Christmas before, and we've just had like a lot of turbulence.
Yeah. Well, it was a tough year.
It was a tough year.
2020.
Yeah. And it was the woman's first time making a feature. I'd produced other stuff, but it was my first time managing people on a feature. And so, yeah, there was just a lot of, I deal with a lot of the legal aspects of producing, you know, making sure like contracts are in place and stuff like that. And, I wasn't hired as a producer, but once I saw all the holes that were happening, I was like, I kind of have to speak up about this. And I was like, look, I'm going to be really frank. Like, this is what's going on. And they were like, all right, how about you just come on as a producer and just take care of it? And I was like, okay, fine. So, the producer that was in charge of distributing all the contracts ended up not distributing all the contracts. So we are currently in like battles with, people on how much they're supposed to get paid.
God. Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And like I said, we should sign contracts before we film. Always sign contracts before you film, especially if you're friends with people on the film.
Yeah.
People get really offended by contracts sometimes, but the contract is in place to protect the friendship.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It's clear boundaries. Everyone is on the same page. You can't say, well, you said this. No, well, you said that. Yeah. It's in the contract. What's in the contract is in the contract is in the contract, and that's it.
Right. Like a prenup type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
To help keep peace between you.
Exactly. I totally am on board with that.
Well, you know, I mean, whatever works, you know, I mean, the thing is that, I mean, when friends work together, that's not a great thing to do, you know, unless they can keep it business, you know.
Yeah.
But often, you know, it's like all these things, you lose your friend and you lose the,
right,
the actor or whatever, the person.
And the problem is when you're working on a project with a friend and you don't have a contract signed and you don't have it worked out who owns what percentage of what, and you both co-created it together, but one person funded it more than the other or completely, but the other person still is fighting for intellectual property, it's going to be really hard to get investors, because when you put together an investor package, you have to have all of those numbers already worked out. The investor wants to know that they're working with people that have a very sound idea of who's getting what and how much, because the last thing an investor wants is their investment being held up due to a legal liability.
Yeah.
So okay. Get your shit worked out, people.
Exactly. Before you get into anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before you step foot on set, contract.
Yeah.
100%.
Listen to Jen, folks. She knows firsthand.
I see it time and time again. All the time. People are like, what do I do? I'm like, did you have your contract signed? Everyone's like, no, but we're like friends. I'm like, that's especially when you should have your contract signed, you know, because people like get resentful towards their friends, and then you can't repair a friendship after that.
Right.
You know, because people get too salty, and then they like, even if they say they're okay with it, they're not actually okay with it. And then people get passive aggressive when they're like not honest about how they feel. And then they're just acting weird. And then you're acting weird because they're acting weird. And then everyone's acting weird.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's very true. I've seen that happen. Not necessarily in films, but, you know.
Yeah.
When people work together and they know each other before.
Yeah.
It's the same when you lend money to a friend or something, you know.
Or live together.
Yeah.
Living with friends is hard.
You lose the money and the friend when, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. My mom always told me never lend out money unless you're willing to never see it again.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You got to give it out and forget.
Yeah. It's better not to, though. But then they're mad at you and all this stuff. You can't win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, well, in other news, Caitlyn Jenner announced that she's going to run for governor of California.
Cool.
You know, they're recalling Gavin Newsom. So she's going to, she wants to get, go in and take some action and stuff. And she tweeted, she says, I'm in. California is worth fighting for. And then she says this, which to me makes sense. She says, that for the past decade we have seen the glimmer of Golden State reduced by one-party rule that places politics over progress and special interest over people. Sacramento needs an honest leader with a clear vision. So obviously she's a Republican, and she wants to fix things. And I think we should give the Republicans a little chance to show what they can do, you know.
I'm interested to see what she can do.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting because, she's hugely famous, and that usually helps people win, you know. Like when Arnold Schwarzenegger won and became a governor and, you know.
I have no idea how he did as a governor. How was he?
People didn't really like it very much. I don't remember a lot, but I mean, he did fix some things, but he didn't last for another term.
I mean, if anyone can make an influence, it's someone related to the Kardashians.
Yeah, right.
You know, seriously.
From a reality show.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, especially for the younger generations.
That's true. That's true. Who didn't even know Bruce Jenner, you know?
Yeah, had no idea. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
I have to read more about her policies and stuff like that, but
right,
I'm open. We'll see.
Yeah, what the hell, you know?
At this point in the game, it's like whoever can just like get things together.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how I feel.
I agree with you. We're not seeing a lot of people really caring about what they're doing. Everybody's busy fighting with the other side, you know?
Right, and I think the problem is that like people are too far right and too far left and they're not hearing each other.
Right.
And when they're not hearing each other, they're like fighting further to the other side.
Right.
And I think both sides have important things that they're fighting for. And I understand why the left feels the way the left feels. And I understand why the right feels the way the right feels. I just think no one's working together.
Right.
And I think both sides need to incorporate a little bit more of each other.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, as long as the politicians are divided, the whole country is going to stay divided. And it's hard to believe now, but there were times when both parties could work together. And this country, you know, was doing great, you know. But you start dividing it right in the middle. And what do we have? We have like two separate countries almost, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of intolerance, you know, and is unbelievable.
That's
to me.
The problem is like, you know, I'd consider myself more on the left side for sure. But I also think that the left side has its very fair share of intolerance.
Right.
You know, like I feel that, you know, I think the radical left is a very important piece and a crucial piece. But I also think that, you know, when talking to my other friends who are also left, sometimes it feels almost like they're just kind of like waiting in the bushes for everyone to say the wrong thing so they can jump on them and attack and assume what they're saying. But it's not always necessarily the case. Yeah. And then I find with my friends on the right, they're more resistant to change. So I think both parties have a lot of negatives and both parties have a lot of positives. And there just needs to be a balance of both.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I mean, we need a resolution to all this, you know?
Yeah.
A swimwear brand created a guide for nude sunbathing in the world and in the U.S. So there's actually a map, places that allow topless and nude sunbathing. And apparently there's only four that do not allow it. Utah is one of them.
Wait, what's the brand?
What's the brand? Let me see. Hold on a second. Pour Moi. It's like a French one.
Pour Moi.
Pour Moi.
Okay, here we go.
So the states are, so where is it unacceptable? South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah. So those are places that don't really like this stuff.
Wait, so it's like, explain what the product is again?
It's swimsuits.
Okay.
Yeah. They're like, I guess they figured, you know, people use this in beaches and things like that. So they decided to make a guide for all this. Now, my question is, If you're not proud of your body, why would you go to a fucking nudist beach, right?
I guess to try and make peace with it.
Maybe, but I know that most people that probably go there are not like perfect bodies, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing is that to show that, I guess you don't care about that, you know, or that you can overcome it and stuff. And
just a place to feel free.
Right, exactly, you know?
Go for it.
And I don't think it has to do with sex, you know? I mean, nudity is one thing, sex is another, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, you can be nude and it has nothing to do with sex, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, people who model for paintings and sketches and,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And, I don't know. Whatever.
Man.
I've been to a nude beach when I was very young, like 15 or something, you know?
Yeah.
We all went and there was nobody there, actually.
That's a relief.
There may be a couple people or something.
Yeah.
But it was in the dunes out of nowhere, you know, near the Red Sea.
Love
in
that.
Israel, yeah.
Yeah.
But there were
no.
Yeah, there were no people there, so.
Yeah.
So much for that.
I don't know. I feel like I'm too much of a starer.
Yeah.
I could not go. I'd just be like literally watching everything.
That's okay. Just put on, your sunglasses and nobody will see that you're looking.
I know. I just don't want to be like invasive in a safe space. And right. I definitely will be. Just got to see what everyone's got going on.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Couldn't help myself.
No, that's true. I mean, I think everybody's curious about these things.
You know? I'm like, what's up with that? What's going on there?
All right. Well, Jen, this is it for today.
That's it.
This is it for this week, actually.
All right.
Wish everybody a great weekend. Stay warm.
Happy
stay cold,
weekend.
Wherever the hell you are. I think, are they having the storm back east still?
I have no idea.
No idea. So you haven't talked to people in the...
I think my mom said they were supposed to have some snow.
Soon. Right, yeah. That's what we were saying the other day. I don't know if it's still going on, but whatever.
My brain is so fried. It's like anything besides class and work goes in one ear, out the other.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Then you need a break.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.